No, baby, that's for somebody else. We're just gonna keep you right where you're at right now.
It doesn't matter what you think.
The Wrestling Realm presents Break It Down with Brian H.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of Break It Down with Brian H. You know, we're coming up on episode number 50. But before we get into the official 50th episode, we're going to have another interview, this time with my good friend, my brother from ESPN, Keith the Mac. So make sure you check out this interview. Check out the Mac also, one of the most over guys I've seen. And it's one thing when you know somebody personally, but to see how people react to him. So Keith and I talked about all that. You know, I can tell you one thing. There's nobody who's never said anything bad about this guy. And when we do the interview, you'll be able to see why. So here it is. Here's my interview with Keith the Mac.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. So, you know, there was a time I, you know, took a trip up north, worked for the four-letter ESPN. And one thing I noticed about the company was there was a lot of wrestling fans. You know, when you get into sports and wrestling tend to intertwine. But then while I was there, about the first 6 months, everybody kept telling me I had to meet this one guy. This one guy is like, you got to meet him. Because he's not only is he a fan, but he's a wrestler. And ladies and gentlemen, I got the Mac on the line, the party starter, my son's favorite wrestler. Keith Mac, what's going on, man?
What's going on, brother? Glad to finally be on the podcast. I know we've been trying to do this for like forever.
Bro. So, man, you know, it's an honor. I really appreciate you taking the time. You know, as I said that, you know, when we work together, you know, here's one funny story. You remember, I'm pretty sure you remember this. When the WWE Network first came out and you had your phone, and I believe we was watching one of the TakeOvers, just before TakeOver was a pay-per-view. It was just the Wednesday night special. Mm-hmm. And we were sitting there walking through the hallways watching it on your phone.
Yep.
So, man, so how's it going, man?
It's been going good, man. Just been prepping for the new year. Just got a ton of great things coming about in the next few months. So outside, it's like, you know, outside of wrestling and within wrestling, man, it's been crazy. I'm like, it's like every week's coming by so fast, and it's like new experiences and new doors opening up. So it's looking good.
That's good, man. So, you know, I was doing some research today. You know, obviously I know a little bit about your career, but you never can be too prepared. That's one of the things I learned from Conrad Thompson. And one of the things I noticed, man, have you been put on yet? I've been seeing this thing you've been going on with Syndicate, you know.
Hey, man, hopefully coming up on January 12th at PWX Pure. It's been posted out there, you know, finally going to get put on. So we're going to see what's going
to
happen.
I'm trying to figure out what's the problem. I don't understand. You seem like somebody who's willing to come and do the dirty work, you know, to be a team player. And they're trying to be all too cool for school. What's the deal?
I don't know, man. Like, I've been asking the question the whole entire past year. Like, yo, can you put me on? But, you know, I signed for 2019. I'm going to show them why they need to put me on. So we definitely got some good things coming up within the next couple months.
Yeah, so, you know, like I said, one of the things I liked about the video, man, was that you guys had, you know, you put a little holiday theme to it, you know? And, you know, you asked Santa Claus, man. And look, I tell people all the time, you know, Santa Claus real to me.
Okay. He's real.
Yeah, exactly, you know? So, you know, I need him to do one more favor before he go to sleep and hibernate until about November on Black Friday. I need him to make sure he puts you on.
Hey, man, like I said, hopefully miracles will happen on Saturday, man. It's been crazy. Like, we started this probably like about, I want to say maybe March or maybe April. It's like, March was when it first started out. It started out as like a segment. I was just kind of like a background guy in the back of a segment for one of my friends, Bobby Ballantyne, who's another great guy to look up. And we just kind of like fell through it, and then we recorded one other segment and we just put it together. And after that, it became a thing. And then people started like catching on to it, and they were like, yo, is the Syndicate going to put you on? Like, man, you need to get on with them. And we just went so many different avenues and included so many more people into it, man, because I just never thought it would turn into the thing that it is, and people love it.
Yeah. So tell me, man. So when I, like I said, when we met, we was in Connecticut. So obviously you wrestled in the Northeast. First time I actually seen you was actually in Mass. Mm-hmm. Tell me the difference that you noticed in the business as far as in the Northeast versus the Southeast.
Northeast versus Southeast. Well, one thing I would definitely say, it's more of us. It's more black wrestlers down south. Because I've done, like, I started out training in Chicopee, Massachusetts. I was trained under Antonio the Promise Thomas and another guy, Kevin Landry. And, you know, most times out of many, I was like the only black guy in the class. But, yeah, it's, I don't know, like, as far as, like, crowds and stuff, I guess up north it was, like, a little more involved, but, you know, that was probably like about maybe 2009, 2010, and just the way that wrestling has kind of expanded and gotten hot all over again, it's like, now I'm kind of seeing that same feel down here in North Carolina. Like, the Carolinas are quite strong right now with a ton of talent. From different organizations, from PWX to CWF to AML wrestling, or even PCW in South Carolina, and even in Georgia, and then like Fest Wrestling in Florida. It's crazy, like, how much talent is, like, out there. Like, there are many great wrestlers, like James Drake, Anthony Henry, the Syndicate, the Gymnasty Boys are another big team. Mm-hmm. They're really out there, you know. Even in the women's division, you got like Savannah Evans, you got Ariel Monroe, Sergeant Alexander's wife, out there. So it's a lot of great talent out there right now. And like I say, on both ends, whether it be in the South, whether it be in the North, I think it's a really hot commodity right now. And you got a ton of talent. Even up north, you got Northeast Wrestling. You got Limitless Wrestling in Maine. You got Beyond Wrestling out of Rhode Island and in the Boston area. It's been a stable for years. I remember when they were first doing shows at the New England Wrestling Pro Wrestling Academy, and their first season with Beyond, like, you know, you had people like Sasha Banks, you had Sugar Dunkerton, and all them, like, you know, starting out there.
Yeah, man. You know, one of the things that I can appreciate is that we're in the social media era. So a lot of those names I've been privy to just because of, you know, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Mm-hmm. I follow Black Wrestling Alliance. Shout out to my guy over there. He's actually from the UK, who really gathers a lot of this information. And it's like a healthy database. And he's been like one of the people who's been like supportive. And, you know, one of the people, when I put together Wrestling for the Culture, I even put a segment dedicated to him. It's like the end news section. Whenever there's a new champion that I find out through his company, that's, you know, I always give credit to him.
Oh, yeah.
It's really good to see a lot of us in there, you know. Obviously, you know, we all in this world together. Make no mistake about it. But it's really good when you can see a lot of brothers and sisters out there doing that thing.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, there was actually a picture I posted this past year. We had an event at PWX, and there was a ton of talent in that one picture. It was like myself, Darius Lockhart, who was another big name. He's currently the PWX ITV champion.
Mm-hmm.
Anna Black, Zuka King, Bobby Valentine, Movie Mike, a lot of guys right here in the Carolinas that are making that statement. And that picture alone, that was. That picture meant a lot. It's actually one of my favorite pictures from this past year. And just seeing that talent, it makes me kind of really proud of everybody coming up.
Yeah, man. Now, so how long you been in the business?
This year technically marks 10 years since I started training in 2009. But my first actual match didn't happen until like 2010. And it's crazy now. It's like, now I go to most places now and I'm like, so who's the vet? They're like, you are. I was like, really? I'm like, I don't feel like I'm taking a lot of bumps and bruises, but it's amazing that it's almost been 10 years now.
Now, we brought up a good point. I want to touch on something. Organization, National Association of Black Journalists. Mm-hmm. You and I are both a part of that. Yes. Shout out to Chris Lee also. Yep.
He was my former tag partner.
Right, which I'm going to get into that a little bit. Mm. But it's amazing how you could just blink your eyes. You know, last time we saw each other was at NABJ 17 in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. And I remember a lot of the people coming up to me, like just journalism students or, you know, recent grads was like, can you look over my resume? And I'm like, man, I'm the vet, you know. So how often do you get that with these younger wrestlers asking you to look over tapes and footage or watch their matches?
Like I said, it happens a lot, like especially with the shows we do now. If I go to a show, like maybe even like a CWF or PW Pure, you know, everybody always likes to offer advice. And I know there's a lot of kids that are having like maybe their first, third match, or it's like the first year. And sometimes, like, if you see something that can help them out, then, you know, try to help them as much as possible. Like, I had a kid not too long ago, like, worked a match, but he didn't know too much about being heel. So I kind of, you know, throughout the match, kind of, like, laid in pointers, you know. And the thing about it is I've been in that position where, you know, okay, something went wrong in the match. I'm going to beat myself up about it. But I'm like, no. As I like to tell any green kid out there who's just starting out, like, basically – don't look at it as a disappointment or anything. Number one, the first thing is to know that both you and your opponent came out healthy. You're fine. No damage is done. But at the same time, you got to learn from that experience. You got to learn what mistakes you did and how you can better correct them to you know, basically build up your skill in the ring. So I always call it a learning experience. I mean, heck, I've been doing this 10 years, and there's even still stuff to this day that I still learn. And I'm just like, oh, okay. So I need to do this and show a little bit more, you know. So it's nothing to be ashamed about. It's we're all here to help each other, to build each other up. So never want to tear anybody down.
Now, you talked about you and Chris, your former tag partner. Mm-hmm. Now, is he still wrestling? Or are you guys, like, teaming up sporadically? I know he's been, you know, he's had – unfortunate incident happened last year. I'm not going to get into that too much, but is he still working?
No, Chris is not. Chris took, he basically decided to focus more on the TV side, and, what's the word I'm looking for? Basically wanted to be steady, like, on his personal life, like, you know, his building up, because, you know, he also has a family.
Okay.
So, you know, he took that, kept with TV, well, basically concentrating on TV. And I know sometimes he gets that itch to get back, and I'm like, come on, man, give me one more match.
maybe we could convince NABJ to give us a little wrestling panel. You know, you got him, you know, you guys been in the ring. Obviously, you know, I do the podcast. There's Ariella Nix up in New York who is a producer. So who knows? You never know what can happen.
Yeah. And like I said, Chrisley is a great brother. And he was very talented in the ring. At one time, it was me, him, and another guy, Aaron Biggs. And at the time, right before he retired from wrestling, we were basically known as the other day.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that was our, we were three guys. Like, we just kind of came out almost like it. Basically, almost every other promo, I would be like, it's the other day. Yes, it is.
Oh, man, you got to send me some video clips. Because the thing is,
I don't know if some of those videos still exist. I know we got pictures, but I don't know if other videos. Like, me and Biggs, occasionally, we still team up every now and then. We keep on saying, like, but where's Chris Lee? So we tell him, like, he's going to give us that one last match, one last time, all three of us. So we'll see.
I just remember you when you know, the news was broke that you was leaving Connecticut. And, you know, you told me that you was excited to go down south and, you know, you was going to be working down there, but you also still get to wrestle. And that's the first time you told me about Chris. Next thing you know, me and him was Facebook friends. And, you know, I got a chance to meet him in New Orleans. So,
yeah, no, he was actually that was actually one of my first matches when I moved back to North Carolina. Like, he called me up. At the time, Aaron Biggs had gotten injured, and he was like, well, I need a tag team partner for a show. And I was like, well, look no further.
I mean, how cool is that? Like, you know, as soon as you get down, touch down, you know, the phone start ringing.
Yeah, it's always funny how I tell people, like, they're like, so how did you guys meet? Did you guys, like, meet in North Carolina or whatever? I'm like, no, I honestly had never – I met Chris randomly. It was the weekend of WrestleMania 29 when it was in New York and New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And I had just been, like – I was at WrestleCon that entire weekend, so I walked over to, like, a Burger King that was, like, near the venue. And I walked in, and I'm, like, getting ready to order my food. And this guy looks at me, he's like, you know, you look kind of familiar. Like, what's your name? He's like, I'm like, Keith Mack. He's like, I think I know you or I know you from certain people. And that was Chris. And ever since then, we've been friends since then.
Wow. You know, it's funny. I was at that WrestleCon, man. It's crazy how, like, you know, our paths didn't cross then. And you was also at WrestleMania 28, I believe, right? In Miami?
Yeah, man. I think I've, I'm trying to think. At this point, I've done 24, 25, trying to think. I did 27, 28, 29, and then I just did 33 and 34.
Okay. So you doing 35?
Oh, yeah. I'll be there.
Okay. Well, I think that'll make Jonathan's day because he hasn't seen you since you left the town. Funny story. That was the day after I had to break the news to him that wrestling was not a shoot. That it was predetermined because at 5 years old, he's sitting there crying because, you know, how you leave the town, you leave on your back, you know, help the next guy get over. And he's like, I just don't want to see him get hurt. And I'm sitting there like, oh, my gosh, like, I wasn't ready for this conversation yet. And then my wife was like, you got to tell him. Oh, so he's going to be that way all the time. First, and it was funny because first it was Bobby Ocean losing in the opener, I think, or one of the earlier matches. And he just gets mad. So, no! I'm like, uh-oh, like, that just completely changed the whole day.
So, it's kind of good. Like, the emotion is what kind of drives me in the ring. So, you know, as much as, like, you know, when the fans cheer for you, it's just, I tell people it's like an overwhelming feeling and whatnot that you can't even explain. Mm-hmm. Like, I've come to shows, I've been beat up, I've been hurt, but the minute, like, I hear my music hit and I go through that curtain, it all fades away.
So is it that you can understand when a guy like a Ric Flair can't give it up and they still got to have that itch to have that match or just come down that aisle, that adrenaline rush that people talk about?
Oh, yeah, man. It's crazy. Like, the feeling you just get doing these shows is like all my friends outside of wrestling, like, they always ask me, like, well, how's it feel and all this stuff? Like when you're coming through, I was like, it's an indescribable feeling because I'll say, like, even, like, the bigger shows I do, like, when I'm coming down there and I'm seeing, like, crowds of thousands and hundreds and whatnot, and kids just got their arms out, like, wanting to high-five you and whatnot, and I'm just like, I want to try to high-five every last person, but at the same time, I'm like, I know I got a job to do getting in this ring. Heck, half the time, if anybody that's ever seen me wrestle, they know, basically, I get blown up just from my entrance because it's just so much energy I try to give off from that, and then I'm like, crap, I got to wrestle now?
So, what's it like when you know, I saw you, we was at the same Monday Night Raw. The first time I remember I had just surprised Jonathan. It was the Raw after Money in the Bank 2014.
Mm-hmm.
When you called it, you said that would be the Miz and Jericho coming back. I think it was. And it was the night AJ came back and won, beat Paige for the title. Mm-hmm. And shout out to our friend Maya, who was there. That was also with you. Yeah, because I remember she texted me, and at the time she didn't know we knew each other, and she said, I'm going to a wrestling match tonight. I said, okay, cool, I'm going too. She said, yeah, my friend got tickets, and then I see her, like, you guys were, like, in the same section, but just, like, the next aisle over, and I said, oh, yeah, you here with Keith? She said, that's who I was going with. but, you know, that was the first time, like, when I saw, like, the kids run up to you. Now, here, you're not even on the show. Folks, he wasn't even on the show. He wasn't an extra. We, you know, and we saw a couple little kids just running. So, shot, 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 shot. Now, me, I hadn't been to one of your matches yet, so I didn't know that was, like, your theme music. I had seen, like, clips, but I didn't, you know. But you had to – what's that feeling like? We had a wrestling show, and you see fans come up to you.
I've had that at a wrestling show. It's – I ain't been a wrestling show, like, going to a WWE event, but even sometimes, like, you know, just normally going to a store or something, and somebody's like, hey, we remember you from this show that was in this town or whatnot. Yeah, and it's crazy. It's like, I think that's the main thing about it. Like in wrestling, if you can make an impact and make people remember you, remember that certain thing about you, mm-hmm. it's always a good thing. It's even just like, you know, hey, they're going to see like all these matches, they're going to see all these spots throughout the night, but if they can remember that one distinct thing, I even say this, like I had a match last night in Augusta, Georgia, and the one thing, a woman actually came up to me, I was like sitting in the crowd watching the rest of the show, and this woman had her two little kids, and she, I gave one of the kids my glasses coming out, and even before the glasses, the kid, like, she said her kids were like super, like, hyped when I came out, just like, you know, having fun with them, just doing my dancing and all that stuff like that. And the fact that I can leave that type of impression, like that's the number one thing that they remember coming out of that. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing my job, and it's an indescribable feeling. Like I said, it's amazing. But at the same time, you know, I'm like, you know me, and people like my normal life know me. Like I'm a very humble guy. Like, you know, I'm very thankful for all opportunities and experiences.
Now, what's it like now when you're out there and? I always wondered this, right? And it's so cool to be able to have a friend you can just ask all these questions that you couldn't ask. Because that's something that Bret Hart, one of my favorite wrestlers of all time, would do, right?
Yeah.
Like, is it just random? Or do you sometimes kind of know before, like, if you see somebody out there, he's like, you know what, that's going to be the person to get the glasses? Or just, you know, have you ever felt bad? Like, oh, man, this person was cheering louder or something like that?
Well, basically, when I come out, I'll come out, I'll get all super hype, high five everybody around, I'll run the ring, and then, you know, the chorus line from my show, from my song, from my theme song kicks in. Then after that happens, you know, I pull the glasses, but then I basically just kind of, I do a combination. Like, my interest is a combination of Bret Hart, the Macho Man, and Hulk Hogan. And basically, it's like, you know, I'm coming out with the Macho Man, like, glasses. I'm doing the whole Bret Hart gig, giving the glasses to the kid. But at the same time, I do the Hulk Hogan to each side. Mm-hmm. And basically, I just pop for whoever's the loudest. And I'll just see, like, you know, the first kids in a row. And it's very random. It's very, very random. Or, you know, if I know it's a show where it's, like, a charity show. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we got those kids who are either, you know, autistic, handicapped, or special needs, or whatnot, then I'm always going to end up going for them because that's one of the huge things with me in wrestling. Like, I'm a huge supporter of special needs.
Mm-hmm.
Even, like, for me, outside of work and outside of wrestling, I do a lot of volunteer work with the Special Olympics. So, like I say, it's always a challenge because I swear I've seen kids almost fight over them glasses. And I'm just like, okay, I'm going to make a smart decision. And then it always is worse when I, like, give it to one kid who's, like, and then their sibling sees it and they start crying.
Yeah, man.
But then at the same time, it also works in my favor because then, like, by the time I come to intermission, they're coming running to the merch table, like, getting more than glasses because this other kid's going to cry if he doesn't get no pair too. I was like,
wow, that's awesome, man. So how has being in the television business helped you as far as your in-ring work and working the hard cam?
It helps a lot because I know it's basically the placement for where I need to be, basically showing emotion, showing my face. A lot of times when, you know, certain scenarios happen, it was something I really had to learn. And people say that, you know, especially with the faces that I usually make and whatnot, it's always a good reaction wherever I go. And then it's also, you know, just being aware of your surroundings and whatnot. And then it's also helped me, like, you know, promo-wise, like, you know, how I started to put me on and whatnot. So, you know, knowing the placements, like, giving these scenarios and how we wanted to look. And that looked like, you know, rinky-dink, like, hey, I just filmed this little thing on my cell phone. It looks super crappy. You know, I wanted to bring that, you know, good production value to it to make it almost kind of like, you know, somewhat almost kind of like a being a lead almost.
Okay. So let me ask you this. After wrestling, do you plan to stay in the business forever? And I mean, like, when you decide, you know what, it's time to stop doing this physically, do you plan to maybe do booking or producing or anything backstage?
Anything, I probably see myself doing a lot of backstage, maybe even a lot of social media. Might even give a hand at finally doing a commentary. I've only done it like a handful of times, so I'm definitely looking forward to that. I think that's one of the things I like doing outside of wrestling now, because I help with a lot of guys' promos.
Okay.
We had a – it wasn't too long ago. They had guys that were filming a promo for whatever promotion that they were working for. And they were like, hey, we want to shoot it this way. And I'm like, well, that's good, but let's shoot it this way so you get more of this. And the next thing you know, we saw the version that they shot first, and they were like, oh. Then we shot it again. They were like, way better. So – just being able to have that emphasis because of, you know, my background in TV, it really helps, and basically helps them, you know, get built up, and people are going to be like, oh, well, I really want to check, you know, I really want to watch this.
Yeah, man, I can imagine. Now, how did it feel? I got to ask you this, because we're kind of the same boat in this one. How did you feel when ESPN started doing more of the TV stuff, the WWE stuff after you left?
I got it. Hey, do you know how hard it was trying to find Monday Night Raw when I'm working a Monday Night Football game? I'm like, oh, well, can I find a live feed on the internet now? I'm like, back then, you know, before everybody started doing like Streamline on their websites, it was like, you know, we had to find like those backup sites and whatnot. And then I think it was like a year later, I came up to Connecticut. It was actually on a Monday, and I'm walking through the halls, and I'm like, I know they ain't Monday Night Raw. Like, yeah, we get the feed in every Monday.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, where was this like 5 years ago? I'm like, come on, man. Yeah, but it's been good. Like, I'll even admit with working at ESPN, it's actually allowed me to at least meet two of my heroes, who are one being Hulk Hogan. And then I also had the pleasure of also meeting The Rock twice.
Yeah, I'm still mad about that one. Because
I was like, it was super random. It was surprising. Like the second time he met me, he actually remembered me, and I was like, oh wow, I thought he was gonna be like, oh, I don't really know you, kid. But no, he's, if you've ever met him, like, he is really super humble.
Well, yeah, I was happy. Let me get this straight. I was happy for everybody who met him. I was mad because I kept asking, When am I going, you know, where to go, basically, right? And I still to this day think maybe I should have just forego that intramural softball game and just stuck around campus, because one of my coworkers, I ain't gonna put her name out there. I mean, she don't work for the company no more, but I just be on the safe side. She said, I'm gonna meet him. And she just kind of snuck off and found her way to him. And she said, I told you should have just stuck with me. And I was still to this day, like, if I just did that, you know. Maya, who we was talking about earlier, she was out of town, and she had said, if I was just there, you would have met him, because I would have made sure I brought you to the interview that I would have had with him, you know. But what was cool, I don't know if I ever told you this, but right around the time when they had switched, they kind of made some changes far as Sports Center, and it was getting to the I was on the social media team. They it was a guy, Glenn Jacobs, ironically, who was a wrestling fan. He was taking over, and he had told me that when you know, he was meeting with all of us on the social team, like having like one-on-ones, somehow or another it came up I was a wrestling fan, and he said, man, we got Roflo here, we got Todd Grissom, and we got Coach, we got to do something wrestling related. And I said, it's funny, your name is Glenn Jacobs, and that's Kane's shoot name. He said, yeah, but he's a lot bigger than me. And the day before, my last week was the week Brock Lesnar came up there when he was getting ready to face Taker at SummerSlam. So he was doing the car wash. And I kind of politicked my way. I said, look. I told my supervisor, I said, look, you got somebody closing, you got two people at night, you got two people in the morning. You know, I could kind of help out with the morning, because I could help with the wrestling stuff. And he thought about it. He said, you know what? Because he was a huge wrestling fan. Shout out to him. He gave me the Daniel Bryan Yes book. He said, go ahead. You know, you can come in early. And he helped. I was allowed to help produce the social media content for Brock. But I was like, man, you know. When I put my notice in, I got the word that I was going to go to. I was scheduled to go to SummerSlam that year because he said, "Well, you're the only person who hasn't gone anywhere." He said, "This would have been perfect for you." Then I'm like, "Man!" And then WrestleMania 32, I see him standing in the middle of the ring while they're testing The Rock's entrance music. And I was like, that's probably like the only time I regret leaving Connecticut. But it was just weird. Like, I'm like, man, like, you leave, I leave. Suddenly, fast forward, they're doing all this WWE content.
Yeah. Like, I kept in contact with Coach every now and then, and would talk to him. I remember I ran into him. I can't remember which mania it was, but I ran into him. We talked for a minute, and I was like, it's amazing, like, how you got this thing, like, really taking off and whatnot. So, and then I know he left, like, about, what, almost about 2-3 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
Every time, like, me and him would talk, like, he'd also tell me some stories from the road back in the day, and Coach is really a cool, down-earth guy. Same thing with Ty Grisham. He was, anytime I'd ask any questions or anything like that, he'd always be down to tell me anything, or even Coach, he'd give me some pointers and whatnot on promos and stuff. So
that's awesome, man. Because, yeah, I had my mark-out moments, if you want to call it, with both of them. Grissom, it was right after I had prompted for him. I told him, I said, look, I said, I just want to let you know. I said, today was an honor working with you because I'm a huge fan. And, you know, I watched you. And he's like, oh, man. He said, told me, he's like, great 7 years he had with the company. Coach, I needed to do a Instagram video. And it was about the MLB All-Star Game. And because it was the Kansas City Royals had about seven players or six players that were like top vote getters, I asked him to, you know, he'd lend his voice and he'd do the voiceover. And then he was like, sure, you know. And then afterwards I told him. And then he kind of hinted then. He said, oh, yeah, WWE fan, we got some stuff coming up. And that was before they started doing all the WWE top rope stuff.
Yeah.
And so, but, you know, it kind of hinted. And then, of course, you know, there was Robert Flores who – he would sit there, and I would try to get my work done. And Rob would be like, hey, Brian, come here. You know, come look at this. You know, that's when Periscope first came out. You remember Tyler Breeze was on. He was like, yeah, come look at this. I was like, Robert, I got to work on your show. Like, this is.
I
know,
trust me, the many times I had to work on it, because, you know, I was in the studio with them.
Yeah.
Me and Roe, so in between commercial breaks, it'd be me and Roe Flow, like, talking wrestling or, like, rap. We got done with whatever show we got done. We'd be out in the hallway and be there for like almost an extra hour talking. And I was happy for him. Like, I think it was not too long ago, he did commentary for one of the Impact wrestlers.
Yep.
I was happy to see him do that. And I was glad. I was hoping he was going to be doing a lot more. But yeah, Roflo was a huge fan. Like, every time I would, for those at work, I would send, like, you know, links to watch the pay per view. And he was one of the on that list.
Yeah, man.
Meet up in the cab and talk about, you know, everything on the pay-per-view the next day. So that's the one thing most people didn't know. Like, ESPN, before it started, like, doing more WWE, like, you know, you can go to the website now and there's a WWE section.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most people think, like, it just talks mainly WWE, but it also talks about all the stuff that's going on in the indies too.
Did you remember being there during any time any big wrestling news broke, like a movement or perhaps like a wrestling death?
I'm trying to think. For me, I don't think there was a big moment. I think years before I started working at ESPN, I was working in local news in Greensboro, North Carolina. And I remember, like, that was around the time with the whole Chris Benoit situation.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was a day, because everybody in the whole entire building knew I was, like, the big wrestling fan.
Mm-hmm.
So it's... it's crazy. That's the one day when all, like, the editors and news producers are asking me, like, 5 million questions on everything. Like, did you ever have these signs before when you went to shows and blah, blah? I was like, I don't know. it's crazy. It's like, you know, when people know that you're either, you know, a wrestler or, you know, that wrestling guy at work,
mm-hmm.
and subject in the news, then all of a sudden it's all pointed to you. It'll even go to this day, and I swear this is, like, the thing that almost everybody has. If anybody that's been a wrestler worker, and you got your friends outside of wrestling, and then they'll send you this clip of some wrestling thing or a botch or whatever, and you've seen it already, but they will constantly – you'll be the first one that they will tag on Facebook,
Instagram
or whatever, or Twitter, and I'll be like, yes, I've seen it 5 million times. If I see the Michael Jackson DDT one more time.
Yep.
It's crazy. It's like, you know, trying to respond. And then I've actually done some things lately where I've actually kind of utilized wrestling into work, where I've actually, for the past 2 years, currently I work like for the SEC network, and one of the shows I work on is the Paul Feinbaum show.
Mm-hmm.
That show, every time around football season, like in about August, we try to predict who's going to be like the top draw for, like, you know, for the SEC championship. So what I decided to do about 2 years ago, I was like, hey, how about this? How about we get about, you know, 14 guys, because there are 14 schools, have each guy put on a different school shirt representing that school, and we have a battle royal that basically tells you, that can basically give us a prediction or outcome of who you think is going to be the SEC champ. And now for the second year running and almost going into our third year, we're doing the Feinbaum battle royal.
Yeah, I watched that. And you know, it's funny because I knew that was you.
Yeah. Little bit. The first year we did it, I actually couldn't make it the night I was supposed to participate in that battle royal. But same night that they were planning to tape it, I ended up having a commitment at as an extra at Ring of Honor. So
okay.
I was like, this is a big opportunity. I'm like, it's kind of hard to decide. And then the second year, we ended up doing it. And then I'm there like, oh, we're going to put Georgia over. And I'm like, well, who's going to be Georgia? Then they all look at me. I'm like, I don't want to be Georgia. I don't want to be that guy. And then I'm just like, okay, I guess we're doing this. I'm like, everybody knows that we're going to do it. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, yeah. Next year, I was like, next year, I can't be that guy.
That's hilarious. It's funny. Did you know Robbie Snyder?
I know Rob Snyder. He's another guy. We always talk wrestling.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, with him being a CBS, whenever they have like a wrestling reference, I always know that's him. And I've met him actually like at a party one night. Mm-hmm. And you know how it is at ESPN. It's always that random party or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I met him, and somehow or another, I don't know if I had a wrestler shirt. You know what? I did. I had the Rock shirt on with the mm-hmm. The Brahma Bull with the flag. Mm-hmm. And somehow or another, we started talking. And I was like, dude, you know, you look like Kerry Von Erich. And he started but then, you know, I probably didn't see him no more until when I went to social media. I remember they kept talking. I was like, yeah, well, Rob was here. He was a big wrestling guy and this, that, and the other. And, you know, we started following each other on Twitter. But it's funny, whenever I see something on CBS, I'm like, that's Rob. I know he did that. You know, I think when they did their, you know, when remember how the old Royal Rumble entrance used to be?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he did something like that, you know. It was like, when I see that, or if I see something on SEC Network, I'm like, yep, that's Keith.
Yeah.
It's just funny how, like, me and my buddy Glenn from the Wrestling Marks of Excellence, you met Glenn, I believe, at WrestleMania 33. Mm-hmm. We always have a saying that everybody at one point in time was a wrestling fan.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and like you said, you always find that people will send you that clip, you know, pretty sure you got the one, especially nowadays with these kids who they get, a lot of times I'm jealous. I'm like, man, if we had just had video phones back in the day, we would have been making these type of videos. But a lot of times they are, you know, they make these cool videos and they put the Jim Ross entrance, Jim Ross commentary and the music behind it. Mm-hmm. And whenever somebody makes those videos, you know, I'll get tagged in like 20 million times.
Yep. It's crazy. Yeah, I'm like, at the same time, I always had to remember, like, before, you know, I became a wrestler, I was a wrestling fan first.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Well, I'm going to just go ahead and, you know, start wrapping this up, man. What's the one thing you're looking forward to the most in 2019?
2019, hopefully more experiences, working a lot more places, doing a lot more traveling, and, like I said, got some big things coming up, even with some bigger names. Like, even this past year, finally made my WWE debut as an extra. I was as the Undertaker in the House of Hardy.
And then, I know, that was really cool, man.
Yeah, it was a fun experience. It really was. And I'm hoping to do more, hopefully with WWE, or, you know, next weekend, Ring of Honor's here in Charlotte. And then in a few weeks after that, we got New Japan Wrestling. Charlotte premiere here. So that's a huge experience, especially coming off Wrestle Kingdom and New Year's Dash this past weekend. So, yeah, a lot of great experiences, man. And then, like I said, this Saturday I got PWX Pure making my I'll probably say, like, my singles debut.
Okay.
It's not my first time, but my singles debut for Pure, and we'll see if I finally get put on with the Syndicate, or, you know, we'll see what the future holds.
All right, well, we definitely go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, this year is definitely a year of doing a couple changes, just trying to step my game up. And like I said, I'm glad for a lot of people that have helped me along the way within this past year. I've been doing a lot more training. I actually started training with Lodi, if you remember Lodi from WCW.
Rage. Mm-hmm.
Yep, shout out to Brad Lodi, great guy. And then shout out to High Spots and all their staff and all their students, like, definitely helped me along the way.
Cool, man. Well, I definitely appreciate you taking the time. We finally able to get this done, but this definitely can't be the last time.
Oh yeah. All you gotta do is just hit me up. I'm here, man.
Yeah, man. Appreciate it. Ladies and gentlemen, the party starter, the Mac. Where can they keep up with you on social media before I let you go?
Social media, man. You can just hit me up on Facebook. It's Party Starter Mac or Keith M-A-C-K. Or on my Insta, Twitter, it's mainly just K-Mac, J-U-S-T-K-M-A-C. As usual, you can catch me. I also have, if you go on YouTube, we got Team Mac TV. That is my channel. You can catch matches. You can catch episodes of Put Me On. That's where I'm at, man. So.
All right, folks, so make sure you tweet him. Make sure you let the Syndicate know. Put him on, folks. I mean, it's only right. You know, it's only right. You got to do it for the culture.
Hey, man, that's all. That's all I want to do. Just get put on, man. I pop for the culture.
There we go. Ladies and gentlemen, the Mac. Give it up for him, folks.
All right, folks, that will do it. Another great interview. Always a pleasure to catch up with your good friends that you meet, who you find out who are into wrestling just as much as you are, and in this case, somebody who's actually gone a step further and gotten inside the ring. So make sure you are following him at, like he said, at Just K Mac. Make sure you subscribe to the Wrestling Realm. As you see, we have a big year coming up already, a lot of content, and it's not even January 10th yet. So make sure you check out this week's episode of Break It Down with Brian H. Make sure you checked out this week's Wrestling for the Culture. And if you didn't already, make sure you checked out my interview with Amber Rodriguez. So until the next time, folks, I'm Brian H. Waters. So long, everybody.